are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's here. NBA Draft Week 2022 is officially here. Spurs will draft this coming Thursday, but who is climbing in the draft boards? Who's climbing down? Who did I speak with ahead of the draft? Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Kins 5 San Antonio. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Yeah, can you feel it? It's here. Just a few short days. The Spurs will be selecting at number 9. Who knows? That might be it for them. Trading away 2025, but if not, they do have the 20 and 25th pick and a second round pick. So names are being thrown out there. Players are being interviewed. Players are revealing what the Spurs said in interviews and workouts. We're going to see how they are stacking up, what our guest feels about some of the names that are rumored to be on the Spurs big board, and much, much more, including I'm going to be in the hot seat. Locked On Spurs finished their Locked On NBA mock draft and the picks are in. How did I do? Well, let's just say James Pledger is probably not going to take any mercy on me. Yes, he is back, everybody. San Antonio Sports Stars' very own James Pledger. Follow him on Twitter at I Am Pledger. James, can you please take it easy on me when we look back at how I did in the mock?
No promises. How's that?
All right, I'll take that. But how you doing, though?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Man, it's exciting. Just a few short days.
It's here. I know. It's here. I took the week off, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like, I took off. I'm so pumped about this draft. I needed the days off just to enjoy it.
You know, we expect them to keep number 9. Now, before we go into that and some of the names that I've spoken to, they have 3 picks. Are you still in that, I guess, platform of they're not keeping all 3?
Yeah, I just find it so hard that they would keep 3 draft picks, which you have to commit money to, and not even 3, it's 4 draft picks if you throw in 38 as well. Right. But I just find it so incredibly hard that they would add 4 rookies to a team which doesn't have a lot of space for 4 rookies. You look at Josh Primo and Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell, DeJounte Murray.
Sure. Primo.
Sure, they're probably going to lose Lonnie in free agency, but that's about it, I think. I do believe they keep Trey Jones, who showed well late last season. I don't see a lot of space for 4 rookies with anything other than 9 actually contributing this year.
Let's talk about number 9. Like I said, everybody kind of suspects the Spurs are going to stay at 9. You know, there's not really much talk about them moving 9. But most mock drafts have the Spurs picking a big, either Williams or Duran or whatnot. Are you still on that? Are you still best available? You know, where do you see the mocks pointing the Spurs radar to? And who would you pick? It's on maybe your board if that player's name is still on the board come Thursday night.
Oh, God. I start looking at this draft, and Mark Williams I'm really high on. I think he's somebody that's climbing the board, in my opinion. But it's hard to, whether it's a big or a 4, to force a position just because, wow, we really need this position, because that's how you end up getting burned and drafting someone that maybe doesn't have the same potential or upside as another player to possibly become a superstar. I actually wouldn't be shocked if they used 9 to get an actual veteran, whether it was DeAndre Ayton in a sign-and-trade or...
You're talking about using it to flip it.
Sure. John Collins is being mentioned as the Hawks were looking for a late lottery or a late lottery pick in terms of his availability. And the Spurs have the cap space to bring in a John Collins without having to ship anything off if they're looking to dump salary, in a sense.
Yeah. And then there's Miles Turner, too. OG
Anunoby.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby is another guy that I think with the logjam that they have with Patrick Williams and Spicy P, Pascal Siakam, OG just doesn't – there's not a lot of minutes for him, and it's rumored that he's unhappy with his role on the team right now. So nine's a very good bargaining chip if you want to go after, like, an OG Anunoby on draft night.
Sure. Yeah, and there's Miles Turner out of Indiana.
Yes, you know, could that's be a possibility.
You know, there's also rumblings out there that the Spurs want to move up in the draft and get Keegan Murray. And there's just going to be so much movement. Yeah, I mean,
that would be St. James? Awesome, by the way.
I mean, that would just really, really fast forward this rebuilding effort. They get Murray in Spurs colors. But
I love the Brian Wright era, because how many drafts did we ever go into and have legitimate rumors of things like this, of players that were available either for trade or trading up into the draft? Like, we never heard anything about the Spurs wanting to be active on draft night.
Nope. Yeah. Yeah, never. I was on the Blitz recently or last week, and we're talking about that. And I brought it up to them. I think it was to Rob Thompson and Ryan Eagle, like how I can't in my time following the Spurs imagine or remember the time where we had a GM just so active. Now, they did bring up trader Bob Bass, but Bob Bass was just pretty much trading junk for junk. It was just bad contract for bad player for bad player. Under the Brian Wright era, these are significant moves that shape a franchise. Draft picks, as we're seeing, going to see this Thursday. You know, getting away dead contracts, you know, trading Drew Eubanks and Thad Young for a first round to Toronto. I've never seen a Spurs GM this active. But then again, Brian Wright has no choice. He's inherited a team that's in a rebuild right now.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing what you would expect somebody that's in a team with a rebuild to do, which is shake up the roster a little bit. You know, a fan favorite like Derek White was sent packing for what has now turned out to be pick number 25 and another young piece in Romeo Langford, whether he is a long future part of this team or not. It was something that if it worked, you know, you got a very young upside type player that they took in the first round of the draft a few years ago. If it doesn't, then no sweat. It's money coming off of your salary cap. So he has done a very good job of maintaining financial flexibility with this roster while also adding the draft capital that can be used in a multitude of ways, whether you actually pick with those draft picks or whether you use them to flip them into other veterans, stars or high caliber players.
Now, you mentioned Keegan Murray. You mentioned Williams, obviously Duran. Is there anybody else on the James Pleasure draft board that you would mind seeing the Spurs select?
I like Johnny Davis. He's a walking bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I think Johnny Davis is – Shane Sharp is interesting because I know the Spurs have been talking with him recently thanks to your fine reporting. And – man, that's just interesting. A guy who didn't play basketball last year was supposed to be at Kentucky and would be in all thoughts a huge high upside type player. But there's just the question mark of what's his character, you know, what's his game look like, not having seen it playing on a high level in Kentucky where he was supposed to play this past season. I'm just intrigued by Shaedon Sharpe for the most part.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into Shaedon Sharpe, even Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara, many others that I've spoken to, and hear what they had to say about working out with the Spurs. And then later on in the show, James is going to put me in the hot seat as he's going to grade my GM work at the Locked On NBA mock draft. So, but yeah, lots ahead on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We're going to talk about Bet Online first. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's NHL playoffs and MLB. Go check it out right now. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. You can find out where the odds are for the Spurs landing or slash trading for DeAndre Ayton. It's there at BetOnline. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcast news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today. You got yourself a mobile device. Learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back with James Pledger. He is the host or co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover. You can listen to him on the San Antonio Sports Star. I guess I should say the Thanos now, because y'all got all the stones now, man. You guys are just dominating with that new tower, that new signal. Was it 94.1, correct?
Yeah, it is massive. I actually listened to the station all the way up to Buda the other night when I went to the Sister Hazel concert. So the reach of 94.1 is impressive. Now that I have firsthand, you know, I'll do a lot of running around in Canyon Lake and New Braunfels, and hear it crystal clear all over there as well. And I really got to put it to the test on Friday, driving up to Buda and all the way there. Got it.
Nice, nice. Judge, I'll tell you more about his show and more later on the show. I got a chance to talk to a couple of the prospects, specifically the ones that worked out with the Spurs. Let's start off with Sharpe. One of the biggest things that a lot of fans are taking away from my chat with him is his reaction to when I asked him, hey, you know, joining a young team, you know, got DeJounte, Keldon, currently Lonnie Walker, are you excited to play with any of these guys? He said, no, not really. He's not excited to play with any of them if he became a Spur, that he feels that San Antonio could be a spot for him to just showcase what he can do. How did you take that?
Wow, it feels a lot like, if you remember Pop's comments prior to the beginning of the season last year, there are no superstars on this team.
Right.
Yeah, and there's not. It feels a lot like those comments in terms of, I can be the star. I can be the focal point. I can be the guy in San Antonio.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a pretty boastful talk for a guy who's, been away from the game for, a year? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. He just remains so much of a mystery right now. Because, like, who is he? Like, what is he? Like, what can he do? You know, there's even reports that his basketball IQ is not that great. I mean, it's definitely a gamble. But is this a player that is just, high risk, high reward? How would you look at it, Sharpe?
He's incredibly high risk, high reward. I look at him and Shaedon Sharpe as he's the ultimate lottery scratcher, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you may win $500,000, right, or you could end up with two cherries and a gold bar. And all of a sudden, you're looking at something that's worthless. Mm-hmm. And the high basketball IQ is the part to me that is concerning when you're talking about reports involving him, because A, Pop loves high IQ guys, obviously.
Yep.
And willing to learn, willing to commit. But low basketball IQ also says to me that it's possible that he doesn't want to or doesn't initially care about film study. I would be concerned with a Shaedon Sharpe for sure. He hasn't played in a while. We haven't seen him play against great competition like we would have
Right.
had he been at Kentucky. But you know what they say, a lot of times talent conquers all. And
Right.
he's got
Yeah,
that by
exactly.
buttloads.
Another player I got a chance to talk with. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You want to wrap up your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say. So, I mean, it truly becomes just a huge gamble if you were to go on and change Sharpen at nine. I'm not sure I'd be willing to make that gamble.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Is he a risky a pick at nine? He is, but the upside is ridiculous if he gets everything going in the right path.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Another player I got a chance to talk to was Arizona's Ben Mathurin. He did tell me that he spoke with the Spurs at the NBA Combine. He said that the meeting with the Spurs went pretty good. He was able to meet a lot of the staff. And that he said he could see himself playing in San Antonio with the players they have on the roster. He called the Spurs a great, talented group of young players. They have a young core. He said that really caught his eye about possibly playing in San Antonio. He said that he would like to play with DeJounte Murray and also Josh Primo. He said he would love to play with him. It's the Canada connection there. That's why.
Yeah.
But other than that, your thoughts on Mathurin, you know, would he be a good pick at nine?
If Mathurin's there at nine, you may run or sprint up to the podium. Benedict Mathurin is extremely good off the dribble, off the ball. With the ball in his hands, it doesn't matter. I see shades of, dare I say, Damian Lillard in him. I mean, he's an extremely talented player. And if you paid attention in the tournament this year to Arizona, you saw it on full effect with him. He is a bucket getter. He just knows how to, whether it's get into the paint, create for himself, shoot from the perimeter, or even get to his teammates involved. He kind of does a little bit of everything. And I really do like Benedict Mathurin. I don't know if I've expected him to be at nine or not, or if I've just kind of expected him to go in the 6, 7, 8 area.
Right. Yeah, definitely a very intriguing player. Not a big. You got a shooting guard there, a swing guy. Interesting. The common thread you're going to notice here is that a lot of the players that I've spoken with are all swing guys, shooting guards, guards, not necessarily bigs, but maybe that'll change ahead of the draft with some more player interviews scheduled.
So
with myself
have
and
any of the prospects that you've spoken with, Jeff, been Jaden Ivey-ish?
maybe.
No, I'm just wondering because of the comments that he doesn't want to go to Sacramento and has made it.
Oh,
well
yeah,
known.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no, no.
Nobody been like, nah,
nobody,
to
yeah.
Antonio.
Yeah, nobody that I've spoken to yet has said that. But one other player I got the chance to catch up with was Santa Clara's Jalen Williams. Now, he could be there for the Spurs at 20 or 25. 6'6", 195-pound guard. Here we go again. 7'2", wingspan. Shot 40% from the three line with the Broncos last year. Good catch and shoot guy. Some of the stuff I got to talk to him about. Interviewing with the staff, but he said he interviewed with Coach Pop. He said that was a really cool experience. Said that it was a good workout with the Spurs. He said it now. He said he feels like he had a really solid workout. It's kind of up in the air. And then he also pointed the fact that DeJounte Murray is really a big draw for him. The idea of playing with him. Said they have a lot of similar games, similar metrics. He said that would be fun. Your thoughts about Jalen Williams possibly at 2025 for San Antonio?
I mean, he's a project. I like him. Extremely lengthy, like you mentioned, 7'2 wingspan, despite only being 6'6". But you imagine a grouping of players that would consist of whether it's Williams, DeJounte, Vassell, like the length of that backcourt would be, if you were
ridiculous,
stick him at possibly
yeah.
the three. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That'd be ridiculous. That'll just be ridiculous if they were to, you know, get him in tow. But again, a common thread here, a lot of shooting guards, very little bigs, but then again, maybe this week, if I get a chance to catch up with Jalen Duren, I'll ask him, hey, did you work out with the Spurs? We'll see what he has to say. One other player before we hit the break is that I spoke to was Marjon Beauchamp. I think that's how you say his name, Beauchamp.
Oh, yeah, Marjon Beauchamp.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk with him. His article, my interview with him, should be up already on kins5.com/Spurs. This guy wouldn't stop glowing about playing for the Spurs. I mean, that first of all, way before this draft process even started, I'm talking about during the Ignite season, he made it very clear that playing for San Antonio is something that he would always he always wanted to do. He actually said to me, James, that the Spurs workout was his best workout that he had in this whole process. He got to talk with Coach Pop, sit with the staff. He said he can see himself there. It's a great environment, and he feels like the energy in San Antonio was positive. And he also liked the fact that he's also from Seattle, in the Seattle area, and he saw DeJounte Murray's development, and he said he hopes the Spurs can do that for him as they did for DeJounte. But there's a guy that's made it very clear that he loves San Antonio is Beauchamp. Hold your thoughts on that. We'll get your thoughts as soon as we come right back from the break, right here on Locked On Spurs with James Pleasure of the San Antonio Sports Star. We're back with James Pleasure. He is right here with us on Locked On Spurs. Follow him on Twitter at @IamPleasure, and he's about to give us his thoughts on Marjon Beauchamp and my chat with him. An intriguing player, possibly could be a 2025 pick, huh?
Yeah, I do like me some Marjon Beauchamp. I think he is another one of those guards that is intriguing later in the draft, playing for the G League Ignite. He is developed against players that you would see, you know, in the NBA, whether they're roster hangers on or people in the G League already, especially with the Ignite team. He and Jaden Hardy are two guys that I really, really like off that Ignite team. So yeah. Marjon Beauchamp, you mentioned the Seattle connection. And it'd be nice for him to catch up with DeJounte Murray and add to that backcourt with maybe a little bit more of a scoring punch, because, you know, 6'6", probably plays the 2-3 off ball. Mm-hmm. Played with Jaden Hardy and Dyson Daniels. I mean, he's a very, very intriguing draft prospect, because we have seen those G League guys like Jalen Green last year succeed. Mm-hmm. By going and then coming to the league by going into, you know, the G League route, if you will. Yeah. So I'm a fan of him. I think he handles the ball well. I think he's got a good jump shot. I think his size is good at 6'6", and his length. So it allows he's willing on the defensive end. So I love seeing that. And he is hyper athletic.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Most mock drafts describe him as a versatile offensive player, scoring in the paint, outside the paint, athletic, can defend, can rebound, a 7-foot wingspan, plays above the rim. The only knock on him, there's a few knocks, but one of the biggest one is that he doesn't have an NBA 3-point shot and he's not that much of a playmaker, but that can be worked on at the NBA level. So, yeah, intriguing prospect. And I think the Spurs would do well if they were to draft. And interesting enough, though, he comes from the G League at night, and if he goes to the Spurs, he's going to go back to the G League. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, probably. So, but if you look at it, in the G League, he performed pretty well this past season. He averaged almost 19 points a game. He's played in 12 games with the G League. So the only thing you really worry about, like you said, is his 3-point percentage. And if you think that his stroke is there, you trust Chip England to help him, you know,
yeah,
straighten that out, right?
Sure. Yeah, you definitely do. But yeah, there's a lot more draft chit-chat that I'm going to have with a few of the players ahead of Thursday's night. I think on the schedule, James, I got Jalen Duren. So that's going to be interesting to hear if he had to say anything about San Antonio. Because I think he has, or at least nobody's reported whether or not he's trained or worked out with the Spurs. So we'll definitely find out that. But you mentioned Jaden Hardy, mentioned other names, and it's time to put me on the hot seat, James.
Uh-oh.
So Locked On NBA Network and all the Locked On NBA shows did our mock draft. Now, the results are out already, so this is already public knowledge. But James is very well-versed in draft talk and college players and movement and flipping and blah, blah, blah. So here's how Locked On Spurs did. And James, get ready to grill me. So okay. I did get an offer for number 9.
Okay.
I think it was from Locked On Magic. And no, they weren't dangling the number 1. They were dangling a few of their current players. I said, no, not for number 9. And that was it. So I stuck with 9. And I drafted Memphis's Jalen Duren. Your thoughts?
I mean, it's what a lot of mocks have the Spurs taking just because they want to see a athletic big. I'm not as high on Jalen Duren as most. I think I prefer Mark Williams if we're going to go that route. 7'2", lean, strong. Huge wingspan. I'd like to know who else was available around 9. But I mean, it's where most people have him being taken is 9 with San Antonio. So it's hard to knock it. It's just not my favorite pick, and I think I'd be a little underwhelmed if Jalen Duren was the pick on Thursday night. Yeah. I would much rather see maybe it's trading up for Keegan Murray. Maybe it is Bennett Mathurin, who you got to talk to this week. Johnny Davis, Jeremy Sochan. Like, there's a bunch of people that I would probably take ahead of Jalen Duren, but I understand the need and his potential upside, but he didn't dominate at Memphis in the AAC, and that's you know, you're talking about potential, and if you bring in Duren, he may spend time in the G League, you know, because if he's struggling at Memphis, what do you think the NBA is going to be like for him?
Yeah. Ahead of that number 9 pick, the Pelicans, Locked On Pelicans, took Jeremy Sochan out of Baylor. The Blazers at 7, they took Mathurin, Arizona. Wow. And the Kings took Keegan Murray out of Iowa. After my pick, let's see, Duren, the Wizards took A.J. Griffin. And the Knicks took Dyson Daniels, Locked On Knicks, and Locked On Thunder took Johnny Davis. He was at 12. He was still sitting on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then your guy, Mark Williams, went 13 to the Hornets.
Ah.
So he was on the board still. But let's continue on how I did at the Locked On NBA Ultimate Mock Draft, which is already up and out already.
So, what
so now, now it gets a little interesting. So Locked On Hornets approached me to do a Locked On trade, and I said, "Look, I got to get rid of one or two of these picks, these 2025, or if I can move up, that'd be great." So we did a deal. I traded away the 20th pick to Locked On Hornets,
okay,
as well as Jakob Poeltl.
Oh,
in exchange, they gave me number 15, obviously, and I always forget his name. What is his name that plays for the Hornets? Oubre. Kelly Oubre.
Okay, Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre. And with number 15, I took out of Serbia Nikola Jovic. Your thoughts?
I love Jovic. Jovic is one of my favorite prospects in this draft, actually. He would be stoked because you get a guy that can develop, that played out of Serbia and has played professional basketball. He is a 7-footer, 6'11", something like that, with handles, jump shot. Like, he is the four that you wish you had.
Yeah.
I mean, you develop that into something and he could be a all-star, like multi-time all-star in this league. He would space the floor with his shooting. I mean, I really, really like Nikola Jovic a whole lot. Yeah. So trading up to 15 to make sure you acquire him, plus you get Kelly Oubre, who can man the four until he's ready.
Right.
Which would push Keldon back to the three.
Yes, right thought. Yeah.
His more natural position. And all you gave up was Jakob Poeltl. Now, by giving up Jakob Poeltl, you've given up a lot in terms of you are leaning on
Durant.
Dylan Durant is your center, unless you do something in free agency with, you know, bringing in Mobamba or something.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be opposed to that either. Like, let Durin learn behind Mobamba. Maybe Mobamba can provide some good minutes at center for you and help to bring along Jalen Durin until he's fully developed.
Absolutely. But
that would be phenomenal on draft night if the Spurs were able to only give up Jakob Poeltl and 20 in an attempt to acquire a player that, you know, I expect him to be there at 20, but if he wasn't, I would understand it.
Yeah.
So you're taking the gamble out of it by doing that, and I wouldn't be mad at all if that was the case on draft night. I love this pick. I love all the ramifications of this pick. The only thing that I worry about is losing Jakob Poeltl with a young center taken at 9, but even then you can substitute in free agency if you really need to. So if this were the play on draft night, I would do backflips. Like, this makes the 9 pick a little bit better for me, with the fact that you're getting a 4 in Kelly Oubre that allows you to A, space the floor, and B, move Keldon back to his more natural position, I believe. So he's not defending 6'10", 6'11" guys on the regular. He's guarding, you know, 6'6" to 6'8" guys, which are closer to him. And that would be phenomenal, in my opinion. I love this draft pick here. I think this is a fantastic trade. This is a fantastic pick. This is just good all the way around. Bravo, Jeff.
Thank you very much. Some of the reaction from the other Locked On hosts after I make the deal and I selected Jovic, whereas, like that very exasperated. Like,
yeah,
of
like
course,
even teams that were just behind you.
Yeah.
At 15 were hoping that they were going to get them.
Yeah. The collective gasp, like, no. And then finally, James, with the, I couldn't move 25. Nobody was in, no takers. But I stuck with it, and Locked On Spurs and the Locked On Ultimate Mock Draft selected out of the G League Ignite, Jaden Hardy. Your thoughts?
I really like Hardy. I like Hardy even more than I like Marjon Beauchamp, who we talked about earlier. Hardy is an Ignite player that has a ton, and I mean a ton, of upside. So he could just be an incredible lottery ticket, if you will, for the San Antonio Spurs. He could play next to DeJounte Murray at some point. He could play behind DeJounte Murray and be the leader of that second unit, kind of the way we always wanted Derek White to be. And be the leader of that second unit. But he's, you know, a 6'4", bouncy guard. He can shoot the lights out. averaged almost 18 points a game, I believe, has explosion, knows how to get to the rim. The one thing you worry about with him is three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully there's something there that they can, you know, refine, as he was only I want to say he was like 26-27% from three.
Look at Keldon. Keldon with the work with Chip. I mean, he just blossomed second half of the season last year. So yeah, you Jaden Hardy with Chip, yeah, you might be a good match.
But he's a guy that you can put him at the one, you can put him at the two, and he is upside. He is entire upside. I don't expect to get a whole lot of contributions from him this year, probably.
Right.
But at 25, I'm not looking for immediate contributions from a player. So I'd be just fine with Jaden Hardy at 25, whether it was him or even Beauchamp, like any of those players, off of the G League Ignite, because they're very, very talented players.
Yeah.
And I believe that they have a chance to really become something. And, you know, they're used to playing against G League players right now, so it wouldn't be a big transition for them.
Yeah. a guy that I had on my big board at 25. And I was getting excited because he was still on there. But at 24, the Locked On Bucks took him, and that was Ty Washington. He went just right before 25. Some guys ahead of Locked On Spurs, 25th pick, Blake Wesley, Notre Dame, went. Okay. Marjon Beauchamp, he went 17 to your team, the Rockets.
Oh, wow.
Locked On Rockets took Beauchamp at 17.
Who'd they take at 26?
They took,
or was this before the trade?
This was before the trade, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They now, much like the Spurs, the only two teams with three draft picks in this year's draft.
Exactly. We didn't do a second round, we just stuck to the first round. But
you don't have a 38 for me?
No, don't have a 38. No, we only stuck to the first round. But guys that went after Hardy, Christian Braun went 26. Kansas, Walker Kessler, Auburn went 28 to the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Grizzlies at 29, they took Kennedy Chandler out of Tennessee. So yeah, before I get my thought, okay, time for you to grade me, pluses, minuses. How did Locked On Spurs do on the Locked On NBA Ultimate Mock Draft?
Like I said, I love the Jaden Hardy pick at 25. Trading up and the value you got for Jakob Poeltl in 20 is incredible. The player you selected, I would give an A+ to. Jaden Hardy at 25, I would also give a high A to. And I do think Jalen Durham has.
Yeah, that's bothering you a bit. You're on the fence.
It bothers me, but it doesn't, because it feels like chalk. I'm seeing everyone project him there. He's just not my favorite guy. Like, if you're talking about a bouncy athletic big, I just prefer Mark Williams. That's just me. Mm-hmm. So I would give that draft either an A- or a B+. Like, it's an incredibly good draft, especially when you take into account that you added Kelly Oubre, so that if Jovic can play, great, immediately. And I think there's a spot for him on this roster, but he's not forced to. So you can play Kelly Oubre at the four.
Your Oubre is your safety net in case he needs more time to cook. Yeah.
And you can just move Keldon over to what I believe would be his more natural position at three. And I'm extremely excited about this. And like I said earlier, the free agency is a little more than a month away after the draft. So if you don't know if you can trust Jalen Duren yet to be the guy, the big, maybe he plays, you know, backup minutes, or he splits evenly, and they go out in free agency and address the big, whether it is Mo Bamba or DeAndre Ayton or whoever it may be. And they address their big that way. And if it allows Jalen Duren to, I don't want to say cook, mm-hmm. but not have to be put in a position where he is the future of that position for the Spurs immediately. Right. And yep. so much isn't thrust upon his shoulders to where he does have time to develop and learn, because he looks like he's going to need to after watching his Memphis tape.
Absolutely. James, thank you for hopping on Locked On Spurs to grade me. Thank you for appreciating the moves I made. Obviously, Spurs fans are probably going to be upset that I moved Jakob. It's because I think there's still that fandom in them. But sure. Hey, you move up to get Jovic. I think it's a good move. We're running out of time, James. Why should fans go to the Star? I mean, it feels like you guys are just doing everything now.
Well, we are. That's one of the reasons exactly. they come to the Star. I mean, 94.1 FM, AM 1250, R&R in the morning, myself, Rudy J, Rob Thompson. We kick off your morning from 7 to 10, and followed by very closely by Michael Jimenez on halftime. You get the Blitz with Jason Minix and Joe Reinagle. And on the weekends, you get me, Jack Thompson, and Katie Goodman on the Saturday Morning Hangover from 7 to 9 now. So I don't know if I will be calling you to join as much anymore.
You know you can. You know you I'm can. Sure I will make it for you. I will make it for you. You know, you just gotta give. All I ask is just give me some of the later slot. That's all. Just give me a later slot.
You got it. You are locked into the 8:30.
All right. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, and we're now on YouTube. Thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. And we appreciate it. So for James Pledger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.